DPS. C'est quoi? C'est quoi? Nevermore, quoi? Fresh.
So cool.
My words are like diamonds that have fallen from the sky, sky, sky. Yeah. Indebted to this rhyme and couldn't stop it if I tried. I quo to the dough, never more. 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 Quo to the dough. Smoke to the basin,
yeah.
52 shots, no quotes to the raven. Smoke mo dope, quotes rolling, no dating.
Fuck quote to the dough, never more. Yeah. 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 Quote dough, never more. Yeah. Quote dough, never more.
Yeah. Scholar,
dough,
never more.
Awakened. Nothing about my legacy been mistaken. But one thing that's certainly been forsaken. How many scholars and many gentlemen remaining that ain't blinged up? Geppetto wanna keep us stringed up while they process you what dreams are made of. This can never change up unless you piss and strike the unseen and bring them to the light beyond mirrors and smoke screens. Proof of the competition when I get vision. Imagine what it's like to know that it was written. Let's watch the conspiracy, they low-key worship the prism. Let's watch all the gifted that never realized was in them. But which curses, which curse, or which worse? Oblivious to potential, look and find the blade first. Expression of the wise, compromise for the worth. Overdosing on the minds, lay ambitious to the dirt. Baby, please, don't address the karma. Excuses only proper when you taint your armor. Heat of the moment, shit when you see mirages. Preparation, the myth, of the passion, heartless. I was a sloth, now I overwork, I'm overdue. Hustler, stay silent through the movement avenue. Our adventures never ending with growth. Between the course of here, no one something never spoke. Yeah,
quo to
yeah,
the dough, yeah, never yeah, more. Yeah, yeah. Quo to the dough, never yeah. More. 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 Quo dough, never yeah. More. Quo dough, never more.
Free scholar,
dough, never more. Quo dough, never more. Quo dough, never more.
Penmanship. Yeah. I can't let another sense of this. If you miss, you miss. But at least you tried, knowing that the game is fixed. You gotta get points for that, right? My favorite pastime is getting paper.
Woo!
Writing checks and still getting paper.
Woo!
Got it in the account, but don't put it in the books. Then I write it off. I should have been a mayor. It should have been a layup, like a 2-on-1. I put 2-on-1. I'm doing 102 on a 94 with the Moulin Rouge.
Nah.
Say what I want. I don't do no rules. I don't do no fools when I'm politicking.
Nah.
Big bro trying to see how I'm living. I be writing for the dying living. In dire need, tryna see a dietitian. Cause we ain't even eating right. Why I can't sleep at night. But I'm still genius like. And I still roast in my crown chakra. And I did it all Jesus like. So go and say a prayer for me. If you still care for me. I go and put my life on the line. and my mama still scared for me.
I'm at it again, yeah. Like addicts on yeah. Additive gin. Just yeah. By the tip of my javelin's end. This is my pit and my pendulum cleans. Do you see what I see? A boot full of zombies. Been giving niggas spirit in the flame. Beat the Suleiman Ahadi. Like through a haiku, what I breathe. Now I need the fibrillated ivy. What I do to mobbies. Working for the packers, but this is all that I dream. That's taught it in your codeine on codeine. Gold teeth on OD. Product that is pin, but he spars from these scars. Never seen the whole me. Unless we talking about the old me. Are we talking about the cold me? Yeah.
Revolution Radio, Revolution Radio. Tune in and drop out. What is going on, people? Man, it's been a minute. I shouldn't have left you without some dope step. Step two, step one, step two. What's happening, y'all? What's good, man? It's been a minute since I recorded, man. It's been a minute since I've done this podcast, but that's okay, man. Got caught up in a few other things. Running myself raggedy, man. That's pretty much it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get myself prepared for this move, man. It's a lot going on right now. You know what I'm saying? But taking steps towards new transition in my life, new situation happening in my life, man. Pretty happy about it. You know what I'm saying? Not too much right now to complain about, but I still do want to talk about the things of today, man. Things of today. And pretty much the things of today, man. Pretty much a couple topics I'm gonna touch down on, man. Really want to talk about this whole concept of calling police on black people while they're absolutely doing nothing. Also want to talk about the whole concept and hypocrisy of hip-hop in a nutshell. I really want to touching down on the whole situation with the brother in the Bronx named Junior, who was viciously beaten to death and stabbed to death in front of a bodega by numerous people, man, young kid. And really the influences that hip-hop, and I want to say it's mental instability of hip-hop, because I really feel like that's not letting it off the hook for me, you know what I'm saying, because it's still some bullshit, because you still have to evolve regardless, you know what I'm saying, but that's really where it comes down to, is the mental instability of hip-hop. And we also going to talk about these, you know what I'm saying, though, very few, but still loud and proud Trump supporters. We'll talk about all of that, you know what I'm saying, though, in compact nature. So I guess I'll get right into it, man. Hop on this whole police epidemic. Which really ain't an epidemic, man. It's shit that's really been going on for forever. It's not nothing that's new. It's not nothing that's, you know what I'm saying, hasn't been done before. I think the news is covering it widely more now for reaction purposes, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, though, we're just discovering this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's always been a fear of African-American men, even before the age of video cameras, of being stopped by police in any capacity. Whether you're walking up the street to the corner store, whether you're in your car, whether you're coming from a job interview, going to a job interview, whether you're in a situation where you and your family are just out, you know what I'm saying, to eat, or whatever the situation may be, celebrating something, it doesn't matter. We've always had this thing of police being called on us for doing absolutely dick. But I always wondered, I always tried to understand this, is that why the outrage in our community only grows when the permission of those who consistently and continuously perpetuate, what's the word I'm looking for? Perpetuate, really, perpetuate the whole stigma, the whole concept of the big bad African-American male or female. And I mean, this thing happens in Hollywood a lot, which is, I guess, if you want to pick and choose a side, I guess when it comes to conservative or liberals, I gotta say liberals paint us in that picture a lot. They paint us in a very fucked up light a lot. You know what I'm saying? Just the uncontrollable, no manners. You know what I'm saying? No, very candid and blunt. You know what I'm saying? Almost heartless, gorilla, ape-type human beings. Hollywood has always done that. As liberals, Hollywood likes to proclaim to be an open and free, and also the bullshit it likes to claim to be. It's always perpetuated like that. And, of course, conservatives who usually, and conservatives are going to get upset at me when I say this, but it's the reality. You guys are the wealthy. I don't want to say that because that's not true. But the heads of your parties are the wealthy, undereducated, lack of military service corporations that run this country, and its constituents are the total opposite, which is, to me, the craziest shit on the face of the earth. Some of the poorest, some of the most ignorant, some of the most racist, you know what I'm saying? No people on the face of the planet. Like, you guys are jacked up on both sides of the table. Let's just be honest. So if anybody listening to this and asking me, well, hey, are you a conservative or a liberal, or you consider yourself independent or agnostic? I'm none of that crap, man. Be honest with you, though, man. Because there are ideas that come from the left and the right that I can't agree with. There is an extremely large amount, as of today, the way both these two rival gangs perceive themselves to be, that I absolutely 100% don't agree with. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm one of those people where, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to liberalism, I don't believe, you know what I'm saying, that it's right to be violent against someone who is not your color, not your creed, or being sensitive to someone who's not your color, not your creed. At the same time, I'm a person who agrees with gun ownership. You know what I'm saying, though? Especially if you're African-American. Like, I do not agree with you not holding, having a gun, especially living in the day and age where the predominant African-American communities, like the way they existed in the 50s, dwindled out in the 60s, you know what I'm saying? The 70s were pretty much, you know what I'm saying, just gentrified and whitewashed and destroyed, and left nothing but, you know what I'm saying, old poverty-stricken African-American communities where there were projects and things like that. So if you were African-American, you usually moved into a community where people that didn't look like you, didn't understand the music and the house parties you had, didn't understand, you know what I'm saying, though, the artistic values that you valued and the things that they didn't understand anything. That's why I say it's weird, man. I was listening to an interview with Erykah Badu. You know what I'm saying, though? And she was talking about when she first moved in her community, when she got, I think she said it was her first check. It might have been her first check, the first time she, like, got, like, a real bag. And she was saying that, you know what I'm saying, she was moving into her new home, and she was setting up her speakers from her apartment and things like that. And while she was cleaning and setting things up, she set up her speakers first so she could go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, have some motivational music or motivational speaking. And she put on some Fela Kuti, Kill the White Man. And in doing this, playing this, she said she didn't realize, oh yeah, I'm not living where I was living before. I'm living in a more Caucasian community. So I know people looking at me like I'm crazy. Fortunately, she didn't get the police called on her that day. Fortunately. You know. I'm not going to sit here and say it was because she was a sister, she didn't get the police called on. That's the BS. They called the police on our sisters because they wanted to make a situation where it looks like, you know what I'm saying, us as black men don't care anything about our sisters, so we leave them out there to get stomped out, kicked around, and all of that stuff. And arrested and handcuffed the same way people use, you know what I'm saying, the Sandra Bland's death as, you know what I'm saying, indictment on African-American males when we've been getting murdered and killed and chopped up in front of our families for forever. So, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, man, this whole stigma of really just people want to call the police on all of us for any reason. Because I believe it was that one guy in the common space in the dorm at the university got the police called on him. We all know about Barbecue Becky and Permit Patty. We all know about, we all don't know about, you know what I'm saying, Paul the Pool guy, which was pretty much calling the police on this one African-American sister who lived in this, you know, these like common areas, gated communities. She was going to the community pool and was told she needed to show ID to be there as opposed to just saying, hey, here's my key card. This is, I live here. And the police was called on her, and when she asked the man for an apology, he never apologized and then came out with a statement from his lawyer saying he felt awful about it. But he felt so awful that his arrogance wouldn't even lend that woman an apology for saying, hey, I'm sorry for kicking you and your kid out of this pool, even though you live here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're seeing all of these things now. And I asked myself, and this word is term probably used too commonly, but this is the era we lived in. It's funny, when it was the Obama era, either super conscious Negroes or, you know what I'm saying, no Negroes that didn't have any stake in Obama being president, or Caucasians who were just so racist to their core that they just every day it killed them to see someone black in that office. All of these people exist on all dynamics. That's why I look at Obama differently than everyone else. He had a lot of policies I did not agree with. He had a lot of things that I didn't agree with, that he didn't stand up for us in certain realms, and in certain realms he did. And then the conciseness of what the Republicans will let us do and the Democrats when they get in office, how they consider what they will and won't let us do, and Republicans get in office and say, I don't give a damn who it is. I'm doing what I want to do. And you're going to come together, or we're going to have a huge disagreement, or we're going to shut down the government, or I'm going to find a way to get you fired, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's pretty much how it is when a Republican president has been, at least the past, how many Republican presidents have been there since I've been alive? About two? Three? Yeah, I was alive during the Reagan era. I was alive during the tail end of the Reagan era. I was born. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, about three. But, yeah, man. I mean, that speaks volumes to that party. That speaks volumes to who those people are. And it speaks volumes to people who, even in this time of super sensitivity and also this time of heightened disrespect and disregard for human life, from both sides of the spectrum, I mean, I've even seen liberals be bold enough to come out and say the word nigger. And then when you call them on it, be saying, have the nerve to say the same thing the right says. You know, you guys let your rappers do it. You guys have emboldened yourselves to take the word back. Why can't I take the word back and put it back into its original meaning or its original form? Which is pretty much derogatory and racist towards people. And I'm going to be real with you. I think on all sides, man, I'm not really sure how to defend that term whatsoever, especially when it comes to nigga. Because I know what nigger means and I know what nigger means. If you ever been confronted by anyone white or racist, you've had to hit them in their damn mouth, or, you know what I'm saying, or you've had to walk away from a situation, or you've had to, you know what I'm saying, or step up and file something for a fucking hate crime or whatever you've had to do, you understand the difference of the meaning of the derogatory statements. Just like some women today will open their mouths and call each other, bitch, I know you did this, bitch, I know you did that. Or their favorite, most attractive artist can call them bitch. And when you say it in a very harsh and hard term, it's looked at differently. So, I mean, it's things like that that really, you know what I'm saying, oh, I don't want to say confuses me, but it kind of perplexes me. I guess that saying confuses me. So it does perplex me. It does perplex me to figure out what you're trying to say, what you mean. You know what I'm saying? Or how are you trying to carry yourself? It is pretty strange to me. It just is. And I think it's always going to be. Because I think, when you talk about people being allowed to say certain things and other people aren't, I feel like it's a give and take of society. Like, for instance, when you judge certain people on their conversations, like Patrice O'Neal said this best. I'll say it like this. Patrice O'Neal said once, man, he was just like, he loves being a comedian. The reason he loved being a comedian was because I'm a big black guy. This country knows what it's done to me. So it gives me the right to say whatever the hell I feel like saying. And that's the trade-off. And I honestly feel like that should be the trade-off. In a fair, I don't even say a fair system. In a system with half of a conscience, that should be the trade-off. But we're living in a day and age where we're constantly saying, forget that that happened. But we're constantly being reminded of the people that enjoyed the benefits off of that time and that time period and protecting that history and forgetting our history and what happened. Get over it. It is what it is. Move on. And then you bring up something that they want to bring up and you're saying, well, you're un-American if you don't like this thing. I feel like that's the gall that we have with certain people calling the police on African-Americans. I feel like it's that almost white supremacist, skinhead pride of saying, hey, I'm Caucasian. All the battles that we won, you know what I'm saying, Spanish-American War. You know what I'm saying? Oh, fighting the Native Americans. You know what I'm saying? Oh, fighting in areas where they thought it was Native Americans, actually African Americans, which is a whole nother story of escaped slaves. You know what I'm saying? Oh, fighting the Mexicans for land that was already theirs. I think that they feel like in that divide and conquer thing that they did, and then the most brilliant thing that was ever done in this country was certain people weren't considered white when this country was first being found. But with the increased population of Africans and Mexicans and natives rebuilding themselves and repopulating themselves through all the mass genocide that went through with them, you had a situation where, hey, we'll allow all these European nations to flood us with, you know what I'm saying, oh, they're sickly, they're diseased, they're, you know what I'm saying, oh, out of work, they're gang infested, mob infested. You know what I'm saying, though? We'll allow them to infest this country with the same thing. And instead of calling them what we usually would call them, you know, the mix. You know, the what they used to consider niggas, Italians. We'll reconsider them as being Caucasian people. On our demographic, we'll put them as Caucasian. I even heard something lately where a lot of Mexicans are being Spanish is not being considered a race anymore. In a lot of West Coast areas, I'm hearing people say that when you go to fill out certain applications or W-2s and things of that nature, they don't even put Mexican on there anymore. You have to identify as Caucasian, which offsets the shoot of us thinking that Caucasians are still the majority in this country, which they are not. But it's that whole stigma of we've done every trickery, every situation of underhanded sneakiness that we could in this country, and I refuse to now just let this thing go. So I'm hoping I can call the cops on you. I'm hoping I can call them and hopefully a racist shows up and he arrests you or he kills you. And that will be my whole dynamic of surviving in this country, because I'm running out of ideas and trickery and underhanded sneaky crap to do. I feel like that's where that comes from. The fear of jobs being taken away, and I've seen so much stuff lately about jobs, man. Y'all got to stop bigging that man up for jobs, yo. You got to stop. Are we talking about the situation with the sweet potatoes in Alabama? Y'all aren't even talking about, so not even on your radar. And what's funny is, that's why I'd say I don't trust CNN and a lot of these other so-called liberal networks, because when it comes to things that will make their point or match that point, they never throw those things up on the news. What happens is some smaller news outlet will end up covering these stories. And then all of a sudden, someone like CNN will bring it up and still be talking about absolutely nothing to create a point to what is right and what is human and what's not. That's why I say I don't trust them. I don't trust them as much as I don't trust Fox News. That's reality, man. They are there to put to confuse you and screw you over. But what I was saying about job creation was, there was a situation in Alabama, actually still going, ongoing situation, where because so many Mexicans are fearing that ICE or whoever else will come, because, you know, most southern states, you know, they're really on that get our white boys back to work and all this other crazy shit. No, we will survive the Confederacy. We will revive the Confederacy. And all of that bullshit they got going on, Confederacy is never coming back. Whether you're liberal, conservative, 100% racist, you know what I'm saying, 100% whatever the hell you are, dude, the Confederacy is not coming back. Because you need certain things of value to be able to rebuild this certain section of America, and because slavery was such a huge moneymaker down this way, the South, you could go ahead and start a war, finance a war, because the whole manufacturing situation in the North had really become a situation of, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't brand new, but it was new-ish. So the finances were just starting to come in, so it actually put them on equal playing fields when it came to finances during the Civil War. A lot of people don't like to talk about that, but that is the reality of it. And taking away slavery actually weakened the financial situation of the South, and the South really was not having that shit. I mean, that's reality of it. Some of you may know this, some of you may not. But back to my story. It's a sweet potato farm in Alabama. And this Caucasian man is pretty much talking about how, because the Mexicans are scared to come over there because of ICE and all the racist situations here in the South, that Mexicans are scared to come this way. They don't want to come this way. And when it came for the seasonal harvest of the sweet potatoes in his field, there was like 10 people there to pick. You know what I'm saying? And those 10 people were actually saying we might not be able to stay during the whole harvest because we don't know when ICE may come or come back. And they're asking a guy about, you know what I'm saying, well, there's Caucasian people that can come and pick your land and do this and do that. And he pretty much said, man, if you white, you can find a job better than this shit. That's pretty much what he said. He said, y'all ain't trying to come do this shit. Did you not? And he said, it's a damn shame, because I'm screwed right now. He said, I'm going to lose most of my harvest. Then the situation in, I want to say, it's somewhere in Missouri. It's hard to pronounce this place. I know it starts with a P. But they have a manufacturing company that actually manufactures, it's a steel company, manufactures nails. Well, the supplies that they get have been hit and hurt because of the tariffs that President Trump has decided to put on every country and tax them to death. Is now in a situation where 60 people recently have been fired from this manufacturing steel mill, and that if the tariffs are not lifted by the end of the year, the steel mill may have to shut down. Then it's the situation with Harley Davidson, having announced earlier this month that a lot of their factories and a lot of their warehouses were going to have to move overseas. Because of the tariffs, it makes it harder for those parts to come in. And now that they're deciding to move overseas, they're still being taxed. And they pretty much told Donald Trump, you're a fucking idiot, and that you don't make it easy for businesses to want to come here. That's the reality of this thing. So you people that were talking about the great intelligence of Donald Trump, I haven't seen it yet. You people that are talking about the great business acumen of Donald Trump, I haven't seen it yet. You people talking about how he will strongly deal with foreign and domestic situations, I have not seen it yet. And jobs are being lost right before our eyes. I had to tell somebody earlier this week, though, man, that was trying to big up Trump about, a 40-some increase in job creation or something like that amongst African Americans and all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm supposed to pat this motherfucker on the back for a job. Because you know how I look. You know how I look at things. You know how I believe in shit. You know what I believe in? Do it yourself. I don't believe in all of these jobs, but these jobs unfairly put you in a situation where you work your entire life for them, and then when you pretty much seem dried up, used up, and screwed over, they kick you to the side for someone younger who they just end up doing the same thing. They hit you up with a gold watch, and they say, here you go, this is it. This is the end for you. And in that end, you may look up and say, hey, they retired me, but I don't qualify for retirement. So let me go to Walmart and be a cart pusher or a greeter or work at the cashier. And those cashier jobs there at Walmart, they got so many self-checkout lines now. I mean, hell, that's really not a job anymore. But these are the arrogant positions that racists with their ignorant selves are taking. Or America. And on why they feel like these jobs, once again, being lost are your fault. The crime in their neighborhoods being your fault. The so-called overpopulation in the country being your fault. And not taking any heed to the fact that, number one, you came to a land that you knew nothing about, didn't understand the geographical landscape, didn't understand even how to create your own food and not die during the winter, and the Native Americans helped you survive. And then you betrayed them by murdering them off and taking their land and breaking treaties. And using slaves as guinea pigs for medical procedures and using slaves for all your financial gains, where you didn't till in the soil and make your own finances. You used people with fear tactics and sodomy and rape. Since we're living in the Me Too genre, and we don't want to talk about rape, we like to talk about rapes going 50 and 60 years back, but not rape going back, 400 years. Not sexual assaults going back 400 years. I find that very interesting. But this is the position they've taken. It's the blame game. And the blame game has always been a socialist type of situation. It has been. Hitler used it with the Germans. The blame game is the Jewish population, even though they are one of the smallest populations on the face of the earth. Saying that they're out sourcing their businesses. They're taking all the money and not giving the general population anything. That they have this one little club and you're not invited. Same way America's doing Americans today. So now they have a new fear tactic. Call the police on people of color. Harass people of color. Which has been put forth by, you know what I'm saying, Agent Orange. So I ask y'all, man. I really ask y'all. Like, calling the police on me. Actually, I'm really talking to my African-American constituents. I'm talking to you guys. Calling the police on me if I had a situation where things like the Black Panther Party in its true form, not just some Negroes marching around getting their guns taken by the police, but in its true form of handling business, was still out there. We have the same issues. I don't think we would, man. I don't. And you know, on this podcast, I've been a firm believer of, you know, either crap or get off the pot. And for some strange reason, we ain't got off the pot yet. And since we ain't got off the pot yet, what are we going to do while we here? If you personally feel like you have a stake in this thing called America, then maybe you should sit down and rethink the structure of the African-American home, the relationship between African-American men and women, and how it's been dwindled down to nothing but sexual parts and financial gains from one person to another, whether it be some big grown man leeching off some woman, or whether it be a situation of some woman, you know what I'm saying, though, looking at jewelry on some artist, athlete, you know what I'm saying, some sort of businessman, and saying that's my meal ticket with only a child, not with marriage even in mind. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I mean, shouldn't these things also be talked about as well? Because I feel like people that see a strong community, they may still be emboldened because they were emboldened in the 50s and 60s to try certain things with certain people. But I think they would still second guess taking that step across that line when you see people unified and united and not looking at each other with hateful hearts and hateful eyes. And I guess this is going into my whole next conversation. And this right here is really talking about the hip-hop community, hip-hop in general. In an interview I looked at, you know what I'm saying, though, I was watching a Joe Budden's interview, you know, because he's on Revolt now. He has a show called The Pull Up. He talks to many different artists. Sometimes they come to his home. Sometimes he meets them in the studio. Sometimes he meets them, you know what I'm saying, or somewhere else. But all in all, it's him just, you know what I'm saying, going out and kicking it with certain people. Which is a great thing. I really feel like you need conversation and dialogue to understand people and their platforms and really where they come from and not just get a soundbite. But I feel like today it's becoming more of a soundbite due to people like Blad TV, because he puts on so many different artists who claim to be the biggest thing since sliced bread, but no one has ever heard their name before. And claim to be, you know what I'm saying, these great financial entrepreneurs in all these different places. But once again, not only have I never heard of you, but I don't know anything about your business acumen to say that you're one of those people. But he sat down with Vince Staples. And Vince Staples talked about numerous things. And of course, the first thing he got on was, you know what I'm saying, anything that was hip hop before the year he was born. Which he always does, and us as a hip-hop community should be ashamed, because someone should have been smacked this nigga in his mouth and said, you don't represent us, you don't represent the streets, you don't represent anything. You're a corny kid who, to your self-admission, has a stuttering issue That's why you started rapping. Not for the love of it, not for hip hop, not for music, not for any of those reasons, but for the fact that you had a stuttering issue, and that's why you talk fast. That's why you rap the way you do, and yada yada, and all this other shit. You were pretty much a cornball. Also, you claim the set. You claim, you know what I'm saying, oh, Crip, your Long Beach Crip, and all of that stuff. You've been doing that forever. But I don't believe admitted that you don't, you tell little niggas to not join the set that you are a part of. You openly dish your set in front of cameras in this conversation. You openly talk about rules that don't apply to you because you don't want them to apply to you. Joe Budden's brought up rules on a number of occasions. He brought up something about street justice. You say that's something you never heard of before in your life, which I know is bullshit. You talk about how, you know what I'm saying, though, that you were hurt because you didn't get a chance to go to your homeboy's funeral after he got murdered, and that you pretty much was angry at the clique because this dude died and nothing happened behind his death. And there was no repercussions behind his death. But then you also go on a rant talking about Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying, oh man, and what he said about, you know what I'm saying, the streets is dead because of us not going to, you know what I'm saying, take care of Trayvon Martin's killer. But in the same conciseness, you still go and big up the homies, the gang, cuz this and cuz that. This is the mental instability I'm talking about when it comes to hip-hop. When that junior kid passed away in the Bronx, and I feel awful for him and his family, and I hope they find some peace and solace in their situation of grieving. But I got to look at hip-hop and some of the guys that are coming out and saying, oh, this is terrible, this is tragedy. Every time I turn around, I hear niggas talking about they knife game. Every time I turn around, I hear talking about niggas will gun you down. They'll run you down and gun you down. Every time I turn around. Whether we talking about niggas like 6ix9ine, whether you talking about niggas like Casanova, whether you talking about niggas like Mano, you know what I'm saying? Whether we talking about all of these guys, man. I wonder where that whole... deformity comes from. Because when I was growing up, we had a situation where if you were about that life, you were just about that life. You lived and died it regardless. And there were rules. And if you broke those rules, things could happen to you because you chose this life. This life did not choose you. You chose to run with certain people instead of having your head in books. You chose to be a part of something, you know what I'm saying, instead of, you know what I'm saying, going a different route where you might have been a great poet or a great mathematician or a great scholar or one of the people that could really have changed the world by being a true free thinker. And a free thinker isn't someone that just says something that's against the grain, which I've heard that bullshit conversation many times before. And it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just because you say something that everyone disagrees with doesn't make you a free thinker. It actually makes you a fucking troll. That's just my opinion, though. Because some things are humanly, inherently, just right and wrong. It's something in your soul that you feel when something is wrong and when something is right. And I truly feel like we're getting more and more farther away from humanistic attributes as far as feeling and thinking and consistency in both of those. And I've talked many times before on here about all of this anxiety, all of this, you know what I'm saying, no stress, all of this sadness and depression, all of this comes from a misunderstanding of head and heart. Well, what you're thinking does really not match your true feelings inside of your heart, your true intentions inside of your heart. And that's where we get people like Vince Staples, someone who masks all of his insecurities into sound bites and discredited comments, pretty much saying that nobody in the 90s is real and there was no real street niggas, in hip hop before then, which is totally false and totally a lie. And I was watching Joe Budden try to explain this to him. And all he kept saying was, nah, cuz, I'm just saying, cuz. And he felt like because he was talking fast and saying things in a hard tone, that made him correct in his conversation, not realizing how fucking stupid and contradictory the whole interview looked. He pretty much shitted on every Crip from Long Beach. Man, let me tell you something, man. If you a Cali nigga and you listen to this shit and you heard what Vince Staples said and that nigga still allowed to be in your hood and be around you and all of this shit, you niggas don't stand for a fucking thing. Because I know you street niggas out there. Up and down the West Coast, I know street niggas out there, though, man. I know people are saying, well, man, you're constituting gangs and gang life. I know some of y'all over there, they're saying that, you're questioning that. You're like, wait a minute, you're saying gang life is okay? I'm going to talk to y'all about something. And this is why I find it hypocritical. And I've been watching all kinds of different things for the past week and a half. And I heard something three times this past week on different platforms. I think once was on Blab, once was on Joe Rogan, another was on a film. And they all talked about the Kennedy family and where they got their money from. They were bootleggers. They were bootleggers and moonshiners. That's what they were. And they used the money from an illegal substance. You know, the same way niggas was running dope in the 90s and the 2000s. You know, the same way. And they turned it into political power. They took their part. So after seeing that and hearing that three different times, because matter of fact, I think the Vlad interview was talking about RJ, an LA rapper, whose family came up, I think his grandfather came up, through their first feast of financial anything in their households was actually a nigga who ran moonshine. And it was explained that, you know what I'm saying, the Kennedys also did the same thing. And I was listening to that. And I also was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast where he talked about, he actually was talking to a guy named Joey Diaz. And Joey Diaz, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but there's a book coming out that, if you don't know who Joey Coco Diaz is, man, he's a Cuban guy, North Bergen, New Jersey. Grew up in one of the most Cuban areas in America at the time. It was only second to Miami. And father passes away, mother passes away. He ended up getting raised by this Italian family who was very connected. I'll say it like that. And he talks about watching the rise and fall of that family. And he talks about the numbers game, how his mother ran numbers and also played in the coke game, how he also watched certain Italian people who in that North Bergen area rise from people who were just regular dope runners to mayors, to police chiefs, to fire chiefs, you know what I'm saying, or to all kinds of local government and government beyond. Even conversations of him talking about our orange agent in chief putting up money or finances for buildings to be built, hiring these small labor companies, you know, to do the electrician, to do the concrete work, to do the framing works, et cetera, et cetera. And he would back out of those deals and leave it to those small companies to finish. And those companies would go over and Trump would put other companies in the place of those companies that went under. This is your orange agent in chief. And this is Joey Coco Diaz. And as much as people like to go online and say Joey Coco Diaz is a liar and all of this stuff, though, man, there's a book and there's a bunch of people that are running around and saying everything Joey's saying is true. He's not a liar. Yes, he was a junkie at one point. Yes, he was real bad in those streets, doing a lot of things he shouldn't have been doing. But the fact of the matter is that he's admitted those things. And those real life people that went through those things were attached to certain mob figures, certain peoples in the Abu Qua, which is another mob type affiliation that came over from Cuba. All admit to knowing Joey Coco Diaz. But that's a whole nother conversation. But I say that to say this. How can you ever in your life judge anyone who's affiliated with gang life, who's affiliated with that, knowing number one where it comes from? You know what I'm saying? Starting from the Nation of Islam, going to the Black Panther Party, and then spurting out from the Black Panther Party, from the Brownstones to the GDs to the Crips and the Bloods, etc., etc. That's how those things got started. But those things, regardless of what they mutated into or turned into, what they do that you agree and you don't agree, the fact of the matter is they are all a part of the American dream. You have no idea how many politicians have been funded by mob figures. You have no idea how many politicians have been funded by Irish IRA gang members. You have no idea how many Spanish, Cuban politicians have been pushed by Abu Qua. That not only existed in North Bergen, New Jersey, but also existed all throughout Miami. And some people say it still exists down there. They say when you see those Cubans that walk around are all white every day, all day, you know who they are. So my consistency is, if you can judge those brothers in blue, red, black, I really want to know why you can't judge those brothers that are in the Italian-made suits, the brothers sitting around in all white, and the Irish gentlemen who have been banging up and down the United States of America since the inception of that thing. There's always been a dedication to mend things and all of those things that I just named. I know a lot of you aren't going to agree because of the violence and the gang this and the gang that. Okay, well, there's Caucasians that deal in the same way. Explain to me why. I mean, hell, you can look at the Masons in the same fashion as well. A secret society of men and women who have to be initiated in a certain way, whether it be violent or nonviolent. And they use that to get into positions of power. That's the world we live in. And because hip hop has turned into something that's almost unideal or extremely understood right now. We forget that those were our humble beginnings. We forget that what Afrika Bambaataa stood from, whether you agree or disagree with the man's methods, whether you agree or disagree with some of the things that he's done in the past, you know what I'm saying, especially with the allegations that he has of children. I don't know if they're true. I don't know if they're false. I don't know why he hasn't been charged with anything. You know what I'm saying? All I know is that the Zulu Nation, what they were people that grew men to different positions of power. And those men have had to have given it back for it to still survive today. You can't just get power from somewhere then forget where you got power from. There may not be an ethnic group in this country that doesn't have something like that attached to it, that doesn't give it a rise to power. But back to what I was saying. People like Vince Staples, I feel like, shouldn't be allowed to speak. I know we say this is free country, free speech, yada, yada, yada. But when you have men like Joe Budden that ask this guy, hey, have you gone to therapy? Have you talked about this? Hell no, cuz. Why the fuck I do that, nigga? Nothing wrong with me, nigga. But then you go on to discuss the things that have traumatized you in this life. It always makes me very concerned about the person running their mouth and saying certain things. It always worries me when that person feels like their opinion should be gold and revered amongst the entire hip-hop community, when those people, number one, don't even respect that community, and number two, don't stand up for anything in that community except F that, because I got to get mine. This man was even talked to about charity and giving back to his neighborhood, and he was pretty much saying that after his homeboy got killed, nobody did anything about it, or no one was, you know what I'm saying, no, I guess, dealt with, because once again, Joe Budden went back, but nigga, I heard you didn't know anything about street justice. So if you don't know anything about street justice, nigga, what are you talking about? Nobody should have done anything. There's no such thing as street justice, remember? Ain't no rules out here. Out of your own mouth. So when I hear things like that, and I hear disgusting human beings talk about things like that, first thing I say is, number one, you're using this for attention. It's not even for money purposes. When people go that far, I feel they're not doing things for money purposes. They're doing things to get a crowd to feel some sort of way towards them, so that maybe their Instagrams go up, maybe their Twitter pages go up, maybe, you know what I'm saying, people start to listen to their music a little more, people start referring to their quotes a little bit more. To me, that's intention horseshit. And there's a lot of brothers that are older than him that's really lived that life, that's really been locked up, really been shot at and all of that shit, really been shot. RJ's story is fucking horrible, man. I was listening to 03 Greedo too, man. 03 Greedo was a guy, I'm not really sure where he's coming from. And to be honest with you, I don't know if his story is true or not. I don't know it at all. I'm not going to sit here and say the man is lying. I'm not going to sit here and say the man is 100% telling the truth and his life is extremely hard. I don't know. I don't know at all. Because seems things shifty in his conversation. I don't know how to call it. But I will say this, though. You can tell when there's man stuff that comes out of somebody's mouth. And you can tell when someone is doing something for attention. They're doing something for appeasement. And they're doing something to get a crowd riled up so there can be a debate all over social media about it. Vince Staples has done more for social media than he's done for his entire fucking career. He's done more for conversations of young niggas versus old niggas than he has for anything musically he's ever putting out. Like this new thing of these new artists going festivals and doing festivals and all of this stuff. When, you know, artists before them didn't have festivals or didn't go to festivals. They didn't have shit like that to go to. Wasn't no money to be made doing no fucking festivals. It just wasn't. But because you're doing that, that's your biggest claim to fame. That's your biggest bragging right. That's your biggest whatever. And I find that confusing to me. When artists like, much as I'm not really a fan of the guy, Jay-Z had to put together, you know what I'm saying, though, all those Rockefeller tours. You know, like the one that him and Method Man and motherfucking DMX had to go on. The Up in Smoke tour, things like that. Like, there were no real festivals for hip-hop artists back then, because hip-hop was not looked at in the same sense that it is today. Commercially, hip-hop can make a lot of money. But you got to understand, just because something's making something commercially doesn't mean the integrity of that music is being held to a certain standard. And unfortunately, today in hip-hop, that's where it stands. The integrity of what's being said is not being held to any kind of standard. That's why when I listen to my brother, and I know y'all sitting saying, oh, he's just some nigga, you know, trying to make a plug. I've said this many a times to my brother's face, and I've said this to other people about my brother's music as well. If I didn't know him, I would still big up his music, because it's good damn music. But he has a new song out called New Pop. And on New Pop, he explains something that I haven't heard any other artist talk about. And on that song, he talked about how we have to elevate our minds as hip-hop artists. We always compare people to Tupac. Like, I feel like XXXTentacion is probably the closest thing we're ever going to get to what Tupac was, because I've never seen anyone react so hard and fall apart the way they did when XXXTentacion passed away. There's a lot of rappers that have died since Pop. I didn't see niggas riding in three or four different cities at memorials, whooping people's asses and burning shit, and you know what I'm saying, those trampling over cars and all of that stuff when a lot of these other guys that y'all know of passed away. It just didn't happen. Which means there is a transference of energy when these people pass away. And what I mean by that is, not to say Pac's soul just went into another nigga. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the energy that he put out in this world, charismatic, caring, extremely misunderstood, because he saw a way of street life and, you know what I'm saying, I hate to say it, but the things that black folks hold up and the things that black folks put down in our community. And he became a person that was caught up in a sort of turmoil. But at the same time, he was someone who wasn't a introvert. He was very, he was a very extroverted type human being. And because he's like that, it's an extreme charisma that comes from this person. X had that. He had that. And in having that, that's why his message resonates so closely with the youth. More than someone like Vince Staples, more than someone like, you know what I'm saying, or any of these other little niggas that they got out right now that, you know, are making music and really not connecting with their fans in that way, because the reality is showing that you don't give a damn about your fans. You give a damn about the chains you have on. You give a damn about, you know what I'm saying, though, the cars that you're driving. You give a damn about how many niggas you got surrounding you and all of that stuff. Those are the things you give a damn about. And that's the poison that comes with hip hop transferring into an almost like gangster division. Hip hop now is about who backs you. It has nothing to do with your musical outcome or your musical taste. It's really at the point now, it don't give a damn about what you look like. Like that's a reality, man. Like, people don't care what you look like on a song. They want to know if you resin with the words and the phrases and the temperament in the room with the youth to a point where you can make them listen to your music. Is your stability on social media strong enough for people to get with you and want to hear you out? That's what it's about. And unfortunately, people like X, who is no longer here with us now, who could speak to the youth in a way I haven't seen anybody speak to the youth since Tupac. There's a reason why that guy passing was so hurtful and sad to the rest of the community of young hip hop heads. And it wasn't just black hip hop heads. It was white and Latino. It was to the point where there was rock and roll artists talking about this man's passing. He crossed all genres. He spoke to the youth of all aspects about depression and sadness and loving yourself and destroying the old you and becoming something new. That's what the whole song Sad is about. That's why I say the effort that we take to put in our music, as opposed to trying to create a sound bite so we can sound cool or look cool, a nigga to say, oh, he's street, he hood, so maybe he'll listen to me, or finding some street nigga to back you. We don't shun that away in hip hop. We don't. But we'll look at niggas that bang and say they're old dusty niggas, even if they have a lot of money, even if they've been financing themselves. Matter of fact, I remember a year ago. When it might have been a year ago, might have been a year and a half ago, I'm not sure. Nipsey Hussle, whose Twitter page Stay Popping, had said something about transgenders, and he said something about black men standing up as men in general and not just being these feminized people that they put on television showing a strong sense of what African American males should look like. And of course, he got a lot of flack, even from this, I don't know who this nigga is, you know what I'm saying, though, some predominantly, you know what I'm saying, gay nigga. And he decided to say that, you know what I'm saying, hey, this isn't right, and how can you just say only straight men can show masculinity and all, which is not what he said. He said that you have to show masculinity on television regardless of who you are. I get tired of seeing crying ass Van Jones. I get tired of seeing goddamn Don Lemon every New Year's Eve trying to feel on some other man's rear end and talking like this, losing all character whatsoever just because he's had a few embarrassing African Americans on television, and the strongest thing you got on that channel is when Angela Rye opens her mouth. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But going back to my point, hip hop in a whole has a lot of demons to confront. And with those demons to confront, we have to understand what we're going to be. You can be gangster and be intelligent. There's too many people in general that can show us that. I guess I went long, because it seems that I got cut off, but that's cool too. So I guess I'm going to cut it off right here, because you know what I'm saying? I've said a lot, and I got a lot more to say. Because the realities of this life and the realities of the next is really what I want to get into. But we can't get into those if we can't face who we really are. If we can't face what men contextually actually supposed to be, and how our art forms, even in this day of sensitivity, even in this day of racism and ignorance and unintelligentness, can still reach the top. But yo, I'm Malik Salam. This has been the Smoking Man Podcast by Re-Evolution Radio. If you are in North Hollywood, I believe it is the 20th, please come out to the study. It's going to be 1 to 5 p.m. This is going to be a day party, man, for the city part two, man, for the city part two. A lot of great acts, a lot of great artists, and some thought-provoking things probably will go on. So I want you guys to check that out if you are in L.A., if you are in North Hollywood. If you are planning on being around the study on the 20th from 1 to 5, please check that out, man. Also, man, hit up LFuser1 on Instagram about the Super 8, the Bridge Water, man. It's real alkaline water, man, from the earth. So many health benefits in alkaline water, though, man. It's ridiculous. And really, alkaline water is what the natural state of water should be. So if you have health issues, you have problems, hit him up. Let him know what it is. Like I said, I am Malik Salam. This is Revolution Radio. Tune in and drop out. Peace.